Welcome back to Militia Mondays. This is the history of punk rock in Lafayette. We are starting in the late 70s with Dow Jones, the Industrials, going all the way through 2008. I think we're ending it with Sweet 16s. So we have everything in between that. Good or bad as it might be, you be the judge of that. But anything you'd like to say, Joe?
I think that's about it. We're going to start here with Dow Jones and the Industrials, Can't Stand the Midwest. So that was Dow Jones and the Industrials, Can't Stand the Midwest. I have Jordan Allen sitting here with me. He's a bit of a local punk rock historian. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Dow Jones?
They were a band based out of West Lafayette. Their singer, Greg Horn, was actually the student body president at Purdue University. That song, I believe, was recorded on their house on Salisbury Street. It was released on their 7-inch. Of the same name that was put out by Hardly Music, and I think that's about all I know about those guys. They also did a Hoosier Hysteria split release with a Bloomington band called the Gizmos, and to my knowledge, that and they had a song on the first Indiana punk new wave comp called Red Snurts, and I believe that was their whole output for their career.
Cool. Yeah, great band. Next up, we're going to have another West Lafayette band. I believe they're from 86. This recording's from 86. Called The Disease. The song's called Greek Life Versus Real. You know anything about them, Jordan Allen?
I know that they formed in 1984. They didn't release any output on vinyl. They had two cassette tapes. And I'm still trying to get a hold of those.
All right. Well, here's what they sound like. That was the Disease. Next up, we're going to have a band called Rat Tail Grenadier. What do you guys know about them?
They were the precursor to Squirt Gun, Mass. Their bass player ran in the late 80s and early 90s, Spud Zero, a local venue that I believe, I wasn't around for that, Rat Tail played on. played at it a lot, I would assume.
Yeah, it was up there at the 5 Point intersection at the top of the hill.
Yeah, had
Op
Ivy play there once.
Yeah, Op Ivy. Or they played at Morton Center. That's another thing we haven't talked about starting off this show is where people were playing. They were playing Morton Center, which is, what is that? Used to be a school. And then, so basically you're playing in the old auditorium.
I played a lot of shows at Hannah Center.
The Hannah Center. Spud Zero. That's all I know about. I mean, really, we're all young. We were all little babies when that stuff happened, basically. Some of us still are. So, basically, next up, Rat Tail Grenadier. Here they go. Alright, that was Rat Tail. Rat Tail Grenadier. They're late 80s, like we said. Mass went on, other than being in Squirt Gun, he also has a recording studio here that a lot of the, you know, pop punk bands and things from California, the labels will send the bands out here to record with them. Seen articles in Guitar World that were interviews with him. He's one of the best engineers, at least in punk rock, recording producers, engineers. Next up, we have a band called Gadfly. That's a Fergus Daly, his Fergus Daly band, his old hardcore band.
He's a great local songwriter. This 7-inch, the label, which I don't have the 7-inch right now.
Yeah, it was something from Rhode Island.
Yeah, the label, right? From Rhode Island.
And we're up to maybe, what, 1992 here?
This is probably 91 or 92. So here it goes.
Yeah. so that was Gadfly. Next up here, we're going to play a band called Scab. This is a hardcore band. I moved here in, say, 95. They'd been done playing for maybe a year, and I heard people talking all the time about Scab. Heard people going around saying, "Paper chains, man." John can probably tell you what that means. I have no idea. I missed it all. But John, tell us a little something about Scab.
I went to my first Scab show, I think it was December of, I believe it was 93, at the Wesley Foundation with, who else did they play with? A band from Louisville called Blank and a local band called Heart of Palm. At that time, you know, Scab could play, you know, a venue that size like there or the Morton Center and have 300 people show up without a problem. Obviously, Pat played in all those Louisville bands, so he had all kinds of connections with all the big, you know, Louisville hardcore bands from that time, Endpoint, and Kendall, Into Another, played here several times.
Around that time, I remember looking at a catalog, I think it was Doghouse Records, and they were describing how the different bands sound, and I saw a couple of them that say that, that they said that you could see a real big Pat McClyman's influence in the guitar players. I thought that was crazy, but...
The scene interaction with Louisville and Lafayette back then, from what I hear,
really big, really big.
It was really strong too, because it sounded like people from Louisville and people from here would interchange and go down there without thinking twice about it.
Yeah, there's definitely a big influence from the Louisville hardcore sound into Lafayette during that time.
And the people in this band, I mean, Pat McClymans, we just mentioned, he was, him and Dave Mason, who played guitar for the band, were in a band before this called Advance. We don't have a recording of it because they don't want us to hear it.
Thanks, Pat.
And now Dave Mason's playing drums for Dave Mason, the Rock Get Gang, kind of a country honky-tonk band. Pat McClymans, PMG, is another name for his band. They kind of do a Southern Rock,
jam almost kind band. Of jam band thing, yeah.
Who else was in the band? Anyone that's still playing around?
Josh Dawkins. Last I had heard from him, I believe he's in Texas. I think he's still playing. I don't know what he's doing. Cody Herr played bass. After Scab, he went on and played at Bedford Falls. I heard he's back in the area recently, too. But.
All right, so this is going to be Scab. It's not Paper Chains. right, so that was the infamous Scab. Next up here, this is a band. When I first moved here in 95, I walked all the way from Cary Quad dorms to door number 3, which was the venue that was around when I moved here. It's down where there's all the porta-potties now by the river, a real great place. But I walked in and saw this band playing called Walker. And they were a pop-punk band. Got a lot of notoriety around the area. I think they went and toured out west a little bit.
Yeah, they were kind of the stalwarts of the pop-punk stuff in this area. I mean, you almost couldn't have a show without Walker playing it.
They were pretty big in Chicago, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were around a lot. They had a number of releases, I think probably 3 7-inches. Ended up probably after they broke up putting out the CD, if I remember right, it seems like.
I think they had a full-length while they were still together.
Okay, it might have been when they were still together.
The drummer, Matt Coles, his brother Zach, had told me that MTV had done like some scene report thing on Chicago and that they were really big, and Walker, not even being a Chicago band, was really prominent in that scene report.
Yeah, they were a great band. Let's see, Kenny that sang, he's now in
Motion Mason.
Yeah, Rock Gut Gang. And Brad's been in a number of bands after this that we'll play a number of them. Let's go ahead and hear them. Was Walker. Next up here, we're going to play a band called Squirt Gun. And this was Mass from Rat Tail Grenadier, I think. I think Rat Tail kind of morphed into this band. This song is off a movie soundtrack, Mallrats.
Some half-truths, but bodies, and you can't choose your bodies.
So that was Squirt Gun. Probably catching on to, we're running into a part of the an era that had a lot of pop punk in it. Probably one of the bands that played a lot, Mixel Pricks, is who we're going to play next. They continue to play pop punk. I don't think they like anything other than pop punk. They probably know more about it than just about anyone in this town. And they just got back together and recorded a new album, so we're hopefully that'll come out this year and we can see what it sounds like. But here's a song by the Mixel Pricks that they have a video for on their MySpace. You should go watch. It's pretty funny.
6 o'clock anchor, you're the one that we need. 6 o'clock anchor, if it bleeds and leaves. We'll be right back.
All right, oh, so that was the Mixle Pricks. Next up, we have a song from a band called Candidate. This was, what, Stephen Day, Mike Dixon, and Jerry Atwood. Kind of starting to work in towards another birth of the hardcore scene around here. This is kind of the beginning of the emo hardcore scene here. Not so much like the emo you hear now.
It's kind of like melodic hardcore.
But good band, check them out. So that was Candidate. Next up, we're going to play a band that has all the members in this are good friends of mine, Smegmites. Funny band, good band. I think these guys were maybe 17 when this was recorded. This is the only existing recording of them. It's not too great. You mainly can hear the drums and vocals, but that's actually kind of nice because you can hear how amazing Ben is as a drummer at 17.
There's actually a recording that they did at Sonic Iguana that they didn't pay for.
Yeah.
So they never got it.
Yeah, that did happen. So maybe that'll come out sometime. Ben and Craig both went on to be in, let's see. Well, these three guys started playing together when they were like 13, I think.
Something like
which
that,
is
yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Really young, really young.
They were
different names, the Retards.
Yeah,
I think they were
all sorts of stuff.
Mustang Sally and the Toxic Shocks.
But Ben and Craig went on to be in the Brass Knuckle Boys after this, and then they went on to the Hudson Falcons and did just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows all across America and Canada. And then there's a number of bands that we're going to play later on that Craig was in also. Have fun, sit back and laugh.
Should we redo that last one? No? Okay, this song's about life. Would you let me do the freaking intro to the song, huh? think. Sorry, Craig. Okay. Hey, hey, come on, everybody. Yeah, let's go down to the crew and play the place around with all those crazy forgotten kids. You find them where the border men find them down at number three. Well, there's a show every 3 weeks. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, go to Lafayette. Let's go, go, go to Lafayette. Let's go, go, go. Hey, hey, now everybody's coming down, and we'll see. But in the end, the way the whole bunch of the cars is up so tall, every now and then, was the best season of all. I don't care what other people say. Love is easy, it's insane. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
So we were just talking while that was playing and remembering that another place the bands used to play and where that was recorded was the Guru Java, which was at a church on campus across from Purdue Memorial Union, basically. Next up here, we have Usurp Synapse. Now we're getting into basically when I was really starting to play music around here is when Smegmites, Usurp Synapse were playing. Usurp, I don't even know how do we classify this.
I don't know. It's like it's when they first when they first started, they were like real, like just brutal, like nothing, just blast beats and like buzzsaw guitars, and you know you'd go to the show and it just turned into 100 screaming people flailing on the ground and you know just nothing but energy in their early stuff. They kind of you know morphed a little bit more, kind of the Locust Crimson Curse kind of deal. That's keyboards in their later stuff.
But the shows this time, I mean, most of them we were doing over at, was it 3017 Union? Might be, I think that's the address, I don't know. It's a house over on Union Street that Matt Hitch and the guys from Usurp lived in. Did a lot of basement shows. You'd have all sorts of different bands playing together. And, I mean, hundreds of people packed in, or at least 100 people packed in the basement most of the time. Great time. Someone should bring that back. Hint, hint, we need more basement shows. So that was Usurp Synapse. Next up, we have a band that John and I here were in. I had never played guitar in any band until this point, and they were looking for, I think, a bass player. And I went over, and John and I switched up, and he played bass, and I played guitar. And this was John Bingaman and I, and Joe Baker, Pete Tertia.
Originally started
pretty,
out with
funny band.
Originally started out with Joe and Pete and Chris Robinette, just kind of, they threw a demo together one day because they thought it would be funny, and sold it for like 50 cents, and it was absolutely terrible. They had one girl that came up and asked for her 50 cents back, and I kind of, you know, I listened to it, and I was like, we could actually turn this into something. You know, I hadn't done anything in forever. I'd been in some bands in high school that, you know, never really did much, and I started going over and practicing them with them, and Chris is, you know, is great friend of mine, been, you know, good friend of mine for a long, long time, but that boy is just hard to work with. So we kind of started thinking, well, maybe we could change this up, and we invited Joe to come over and play bass with us, and Joe starts, you know, dicking around on the guitar, and I was like, well, shit, well, I'll play bass. Joe's a better guitar player than I am, and booked a bunch of shows, cut a demo, and broke up on stage.
Yeah, we recorded this with, Brad Walker,
Brad and Dave at Hell Track Studios.
Yeah, in the basement. And, we broke up on stage. That was a pretty funny story. I'm not going to relay the whole thing to you, but let's say that got thrown at the drums, and I said some things that were kind of funny.
If you were there, you knew it was hilarious.
In front of about 350 people at University Church, another venue that we used to play at all the time.
But it's all good now. We're all friends.
So here's Abolition.
You're good. You're first class, Jeff. You can spell John out to me, or me to John, or you can tell me. Have you found some way of selling everyone to everybody?
Not yet, Mummy, but I'm working on it.
John, can you give us your mask again?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go ahead and let that one live in 98 forever.
All right, so next up, we're actually going to stretch a little bit. This band technically wasn't from here, but I don't know. Some of them lived here off and on. They're always in town. They're always playing shows here. We've done tons of back then, played tons of shows with them. Brass Knuckle Boys' first show was with them. So we're just going to, you know, call it all even and say they're from Lafayette. This is the Vice Dolls. So that was the Vice Dolls, which leads into the Brass Knuckle Boys, which was the band that I played in after playing an Abolition with John here. And we had Ben and Craig from the Smegmites on guitar and drums, and Matt Hitch, who we knew from the house on Union that had all the shows. We played our first show with the Vistyles. That's why it led into it. I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Max and Jordan here. They could talk a little bit about the band.
First time I heard of the Brass Knuckle Boys, I was at my parents' house in Franceville reading a Maxim Rock and Roll, and I saw a review for their 7-inch Fighting Poor, and I was blown away because it gave a great review. It showed the record, so I saw what it looked like. It looked really cool, and I just couldn't believe that there was a good punk band from Indiana, because I didn't know that punk bands could be from Indiana at the time. You know? So that kind of was like an inspiration, being in this really small town and seeing that. What could come of it.
Cool. Yeah, we played a little bit here and then broke up, and then the band restarted, so there was a lot of releases after. It was no longer a local band, but we had a 7-inch. I had a 9-song EP that wasn't technically ever released. It's released now digitally.
You made your name in Lafayette, though.
We did make our name in Lafayette. That's for sure. And we toured like 28 states. It was a lot of fun. I got to play with every band that existed still that was touring the United States that I cared to hear. So it was a good time. Militia Mondays with everybody but Max. So that was the Brass Knuckle Boys. Anything you wanted to say about Brass Knuckle Boys or about John Q Public that's coming up next?
I know fucking dick about John Q Public. I mean, really, anything I have to say about the Brass Knuckle Boys all stems from just where Jordan's coming from. I mean, being that I grew up in Culver, you know, a really small town, not quite as small as Francisville, but, you know, I started playing punk rock in, like, 99, 2000 when I was in junior high, and really,
strangely enough, with your own brass knuckle band, Brass Knuckle Solutions.
Exactly. So, you know, just hearing the stories, I mean, because that time, you know, shit wasn't accessible, so I'd just hear, like, you know, word of mouth about the Brass Knuckle Boys from Lafayette, and, I mean, honestly, if it weren't for that, I don't even know if I ever would have moved down here, so...
There's an ego strip for you, Joe.
Yeah.
He wanted to come down and be my boyfriend. So the next band up is John Q Public. Help me out here. This was John, do you remember off the top of your head? It was Brett Carlson, maybe?
And Sean.
Sean from the Greenbush House, another venue.
Yeah, Sean ended up taking over the Greenbush House after the Usurp guys left. He was also in Dance to Destroy that we got coming up a little later.
Mm-hmm. So here they are.
We'll be right back.
So that was John Q. Public. Next up here we have a band called Red Hot Pokers. This was Mark Ertmer, a man who stands in front of his name all the time. I don't know what that means, but you can just go ahead and figure it out on your own. And
Alex Teeter,
which he's in. I think we figured out he's probably going to be in more of the tracks on this podcast that we're doing.
He's got at least six or seven
bands that he's in on this recording, on this radio show. And Lane Hooker, who later on played with, the Turners.
Persuasives.
He played with the Persuasives, which
Prophets.
There's no recording for, the Prophets. And what's he doing now? He has a record label called...
Runs a record label called Destazi.
Destazi.
Earlier, he had co-founded Spin the Bottle Records with Matt Hitch, and then went off and formed Destazi, and now he's living in Ohio on Defiance Street.
All right, so here they are. That was Red Hot Pokers. Next up here, we have a band that was formed kind of out of the ashes of Abolition. This is Pete Tersha and Joe Baker from Abolition.
Right.
And who else is in this band? What's going on, John Dingman?
Layla played guitar. Layla and Joe, I believe, were the only two that lasted the entire duration of the band. They had kind of a revolving lineup, especially on bass. There were, I don't know, probably at least three or four different bass players. There are a bunch of other Lafayette people. Maria Yeager was in it for a little while.
Yeah, that's right.
She
was also in the Vice Dolls for a while, which played earlier now that I think of it.
Yep.
And so was Brad from Walker and John P. Public.
And a guy, Alex, played drums from an Indianapolis band called the Lithid. Lithid actually just got back together, I heard.
I remember them.
Started playing some shows. A really fun band. So,
So this is going to be Robin Island from 1776.
Is it too much to ask you to grant us human dignity? Should we be put down and shot to death for this request? If so, you can aim your guns. What the hell do you think we care about dying if you're going to deny us the right to live?
Yeah.
So that was Sutek Conspiracy. What's I know Layla's out in San Diego or San Francisco or something. Mm-hmm. She's in a couple. I think she's kind of in a met like a metal band and some sort of ambient kind of dark gloomy band.
Pete Tersha lives in Michigan now. He's got a band called Blarmageddon. They got a MySpace page. Check them out. Joe Baker's actually working for the government. I saw talk to him. He's in Indiana. He's working for Governor Mitch Daniels.
Great.
So
he was engaged.
He's actually married now. He did get married in a Jedi costume.
So next up, we're gonna go into Boy Named Sue. This was another band that was playing over at Greenbush a lot. It had
it's kind of a from the ashes of Walker. Yeah. You know, Brad and Dave from Walker
and Brian Bush. I just talked to him. He's out in Austin, Texas now, doing good.
Brian ran door number three for a long time.
Yeah, he did. All right, so here they are. Boy Named Sue. Next up, we have a band called Dance and Destroy. This was Seth Brook and who else was in this band?
Sean from Junkie Public was in there. They were great, man. They were like real fun, high energy band. Like it was just crazy shows all the time. Seth running around with no shirt on,
which John really liked.
Hey!
All right, so this is from their self-titled 7-inch on Harmless Records. And the song's also called Dance and Destroy.
Yeah.
right, that was Dance and Destroy. Next up, we have, this is probably the best thing that's come out of putting this show together, is that we've unearthed the recordings of the Rohypnols. I loved this band. It was, let's see, it was Alex Teeter,
Matt Hitch,
Benedict,
and Dave Harmon on drums, and not on this recording, but after this at all the shows, there was also Joel Freeman playing guitar. This band, I think, kind of led in the next sound that's still kind of happening here in Lafayette.
Kind of the fourth generation.
Yeah, we kind of did the original punk stuff, and then the hardcore, and then the pop punk, and then back into the other kind of hardcore. And then now we kind of have the, I don't know, garage, rocky, dirty, trashy stuff.
Drunk.
And there is no dirtier or trashier band than the Rohypnols here. Check them out. Some good shit. anyone have anything to say about the next band coming up, the Turners? I have all sorts of things to say about them, but I'm going to turn it over to some other people.
Fucking great band. I saw them for the first time when my old band Grendel played with them sometime. I think it would have been back in 2002 or 2003 in Peru. But they showed up just wasted and played a set, you know, that
five songs.
They played like five songs that, I mean, you could tell they were wasted.
Yeah.
And but it had Alex Teeter, Craig from Brass Knuckle Boys and the Falcons and the Smegmites. Who else? Lane was in it.
Lane
and then,
was in
the
bass.
And then Nate.
Nate the Animal Ult.
Yeah. From Demiricus.
Yeah.
Of all bands,
on
making
Metal Blade
his
records now.
Which used to be, I would tell people about Demiricus and say, yeah, it's Nate, the drummer from the Turners.
Right.
Now you definitely have
that was
to
funny.
That.
He'd always tell me, oh, well, you know, on the side I do this metal band, and then maybe 6 months later, we're on Metal Blade Records now and shooting videos. And
they're on Headbangers Ball.
But Turners, I mean, this is, to me, some of the best songwriting that's come out of here. There's not a bad track on this album. I had a hard time picking out what I wanted to play. I almost put two of their songs on just because I didn't want to narrow it down any further.
Wait.
All right.
He uses Jesse Michaels' distortion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jesse Michaels from Op Ivy was in town for something and lent him this broken, I don't know, some sort of guitar pedal that sounded broken, but you'll hear it here right now.
Next, we got Newport Jones and the Fabulous Fixins. This is a band that features Jordan Allen, who's here with us right now. Really, all I can say about this is I saw these guys for the first time probably back in, like, 2002. I was down
house
here
show.
With... Yeah, it was a house show.
11th and Tippecanoe Street.
Yeah, I was down here, and Jordan had been coming to our shows back when I played in Grendel for a long time, and, you know, he's like, oh, my band's playing in town tonight, and we're like, oh, whatever, you know, we got this... fucking tall weirdo that knows all our names telling us, but we went out. But we went out, you know, and we decided we'd check him out at this fucking house party, and it was just fucking off the wall insane. Like, they fucking blew it down and it was amazing. So after that this is really where I guess I get into seeing the string of garage rock and Lafayette and just everything that came out of it. Anything you want to say about it?
Started it when I was still in high school with Trent and Grosso, who were living in Monticello at the time. It was my senior year of high school, and then we moved down here and got a house together so we could really focus on the band.
At least focus getting inspiration.
And they all ended up getting debilitating alcohol problems instead.
And we broke up within a year.
All right, Newport Jones.
Knock it like I'm doing CGI.
You're all the
I'm gonna get down. It's not what I want, you're gonna make it up there.
shove me, shove me out. Give me a beat up on shoulder. Well, I'm banging out the shelf. If I see you, I'll be gone. Anyway, I'll have a baby and you'll be all alone.
That was Newport Jones and the Fabulous Fixins with View of the Stars. Up next, we have the Malcontents, which is like a third-wave ska band that, I mean, really fucking exploded out of this town back in like 2003.
They exploded, but then they played Warped Tour and everything, and I don't even know how they broke up. Maybe we should have researched into that.
Yeah, you know, we don't really know much about them. The only person I still keep in touch with is Corey, who's the trumpet player, is a fucking stand-up dude.
Sharon, their bassist, now has a band in Nashville.
And she's probably still hot as hell.
Very hot, very good bassist.
Emmett Hall, the drummer.
Emmett, the drummer, yeah.
He's running a PSP Division III paintball team right now.
All right. John, he's moved on to bigger and better things.
All right.
So, Malcontents.
Here comes Malcontents.
Malcontents. Up next, we have the ST Dealers. This is a band that featured Jordan Allen,
Drew Davis,
Chad Sutton, and
Taylor Reed, who is a transplant from Peru, Indiana. This was originally just a side project for me to do in Newport Jones time, since when we weren't focusing really hard on the band. And we did this, recorded our 7-song demo, I think, up in Culver, which Max actually played bass on instead of Chad, because he was deathly sick and we didn't want to reschedule the recording. And then this band formed into Wabash Trash,
and had songs that were probably over a minute. And then we broke up probably 10 times, and I think the 10th time we stayed broken up.
That was ST Dealers.
Smooth sounds of the ST Dealers.
Yeah. Next up we have the Jim Jims. You might know the singer from such local newspapers as the Journal and Courier or the TGIF section. He's written reviews for bands around here forever. It should
be mentioned that Tim's really done a lot in trying to give all of the bands pretty much.
Absolutely.
Give everybody press.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. He wrote
thanks,
about even clear back, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s when I was playing. He did a whole page on our band, and he's done that for a lot of the other guys around for their bands too. It's been very nice and very helpful to get some recognition locally.
This band, I believe, Tim had originally started in St. Louis,
right.
But Tim's been here now for probably around 10 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
And he kept it going here, and they've had a revolving cast of members.
Right, so here they are. Oh, this, by the way, this song is called Trouble on Tinkler. It's about Tinkler Street. And I think you told me there was a murder. It's about a murder that happened on that street and something about a fat woman going up that hill on a scooter somehow gets tied in there. So here it goes.
Chris Paul, better known as Beavis to the Lafayette community from the Minivans. We're about to play the song No Class from the Minivans. Beavis, anything in particular you'd like to say about the song?
Well, for the most part, this was written whenever we were both about 21, 22, and we used to just get drunk about 5-6 nights a week, and then just jam after we got drunk, and it was pretty much we just decided to just make just dumb drunk songs, and this is what came out of it. We'd write stuff and we'd put lyrics to it, and that was pretty much what came out of it. It was just us drinking 5 nights a week. So that's where this came from.
So that's what you'd like the kids of America to take out of this, specifically the kids from Lafayette?
Yeah, most definitely. Get drunk and it makes good songs. Yeah.
All right.
Really.
It's inspiring.
Yeah, at least 5-6 nights a week. Yeah.
More if you can.
Yeah, as often as possible, really.
No class!
right, that was the minivans. Next up, we have the Places.
We're the Places.
Oh, shoot. Who wants to say something about it?
The Places, I think they're probably the strongest band in the scene when I first moved down here in 2004.
We're the Places.
You could never go out to, you know, I mean, I was like 18 years old and getting snuck into Wingers just so I could watch Benedict take his pants off
and other people's pants.
And other people, you know, but it was Benedict, Eric Goff, Alex Teeter, Chris Grosso was playing drums.
Joey Marburger playing bass.
Joey Marburger on bass, but their live shows are fucking nuts. I remember one time I saw Teeter take a fucking header, like, you know, at Wingers, split his head open, bleeding everywhere, finishes the set, and then goes to the hospital. So they definitely pack some intensity into their fucking, you know, half hour of whatever the fuck.
I guess we kind of glossed over the Benedict getting naked on stage. That was happening clear back in the Rehypnols.
Yeah.
We had Pressure Point came through this year, and they were around and played, I don't know, a long time ago when the Rehypnols were playing. And they still remember that from this town, the guy getting naked on stage, so he's made a name for himself.
One of my mom's friends who lives in Indianapolis heard about them when they played at Melody Inn, I think it was. He was like, hey man, you know anything about this band, The Places? I heard this dude gets naked and stuff.
He almost got his ass kicked by the bouncer that night.
Yeah, that was that same as the Pressure Point show.
Yeah, Chris, so Chris, your penis is known the world over. here he goes. Places with Can't Stop Drinking. This next song is actually a band that got started by my roommate Scott Gwynn. Most of us know him as the Lovable Scooter.
Scooter!
Wow, wow, wow.
The biggest, most agile big man I think I've ever seen.
He can kick a beer glass out of your hand.
He can throw a spin kick like no other. But so Boss Man probably started in like 2005. It was Scooter.
Which actually it morphed from when we had our house, me, Trent, and Grosso had our house. They started a band called the 12 Free Beer Project with the goal just to play the punk rock night at the Melody Inn to get the free beer. And that morphed into Boss Man and his Bad Habits.
So here they go.
Wow.
So that was Boss Man Has Bad Habits. Next up, we're going to play The Prophets. Kind of stretching here again. These are all guys that you've heard a number of bands already that we've played for you. Let's see, who do we have? Craig.
Matt Hitch.
Matt Hitch. Lane.
Alex Teeter. Lane played bass. Teeter played drums. Hitch played guitar. And Craig played guitar and sang.
They moved to Bloomington, but they played most of their shows here, like 90% of their shows. So we're going to call them a Lafayette band.
They're all from Lafayette.
Yeah. So here they go.
The Prophets, you ready?
Probably at the high point of the punk, trash, garage scene here in Lafayette. And they were our little high school little brothers. I think their ages range from 16 to 12. And if you think that they couldn't play bars because of your age, you would be wrong.
Now, they were the biggest threat for contributing to minors that any of us have ever seen.
Yeah. And molestation. And two of the members of the Leather Scandals are now in TV Ghost. Who are we playing?
Yeah, you'll hear them.
We'll hear them later, and they're doing really well now.
All right.
Yeah.
the leather scandals. Up next, we have the Mans. What can you really say about these guys? It's a two-piece that's fueled...
That sounds like a one-man band.
I mean, anything you've ever heard about Benedict getting naked before is definitely amplified
and
multiplied by vomit in this equation. Which, I mean, if you... Yeah, I mean... It's hard to say, you know, that you'd think, you know, maybe since they're a two-man band, they might both try to do the best they can at the one thing they have a handle on, but live shows would indicate otherwise, but they're fucking hilarious, and they've, oddly enough, been incredibly successful with it. They've traveled to Europe and...
put out at least 4 7-inches.
They're a spectacle.
Yeah.
You don't catch a spectacle on recording.
I saw Benedict getting violated in Austin, Texas by a drumstick at a man's show.
I guess we'll just leave you with that. Still laughing, talking about the Mans. So that was the Mans. Next up, we have Trent and the Rippers.
This is a band that, well, obviously, it's Trent's band, but me and Jordan...
Rhythm section.
We are the Rippers, yeah. Jordan plays drums, I play bass. We also have Sean Mullins on guitar, who, he's an amazing musician, just kind of fucking gets high and rips off whatever, you know, just fucking plays like a motherfucker. He's also in the Half Rats. But Trent, shit, Trent was in the Minivans.
This band started out more from the Bobcats, who was me, Trent, and Ryan Pitts from the Half Rats, before the Half Rats. Me and Trent would switch off with guitar and drums, and we would each do a few songs of all of our songs, mine, Pitts, and his. And then me and Trent started playing just us two under Tall and Small, or Trent and the Rippers. We would call it that every now and again. And then we'd... got Max on bass, and it sounded a lot better, so we tried and did get Sean to play guitar.
And this is actually an earlier live recording from Downtown Records at the old location when it was on 10th Street, but we did just record, being that we are, you know, horrible at organizing ourselves. We don't actually have a track from the new recording, so, you know, take what you can get.
Heart attack!
Song's called Heart Attack.
I want to dedicate this one to Beavis, because you break my heart all the time.
I'm
so that was Trent and the Rippers. Next up, we might be a little bit out of order here. Devil's Right Hand might have... Did they happen a little bit earlier than this, or is this about right?
We started Devil's Right Hand in when I first moved down here. I think it was actually in 2005.
But we actually played a Devil's Right Hand show at the old Downtown Records, and then later on played a Trent the Ripper show at a loft that same night. Do you remember that?
Yeah. So these two, we were definitely going at the same time. Devil's Right Hand started in 2005. It was like, I guess, an oi band that we had. It was me playing guitar, Jordan on drums, Tony Badd on vocals, and Mike Prickett on bass.
And it was a little bit before, because this is the first time I ever played drums in a band.
Yeah, it was cool. We had a show booked already before we had a drummer, so we recruited Jordan. He learned how to play drums, and we played a house show up on campus. So this is Devil's Right Hand. We had a run, and
it's over.
Devil's Right Hand. We're just going to go ahead and keep going on with these guys' bands. We have a little block of them playing together. So next up, we're going to play Bastards Choir. Should tell us a little bit about yourself, Max.
This is a band that started back when I was still living in Culver. We probably started in 2003 under the name Born to Lose. Then we broke up because we couldn't decide on another band name because we found out a band from Texas was already called Born to Lose. And that's all there is
to
that.
I've played with them, actually, I think.
Yeah, they're a fucking killer band. But so we got Jordan playing on it now. We're still kind of going. Far more original than Bastards Choir. Yeah, basically the aim of Bastards Choir, since we started it, was just to be the biggest fucking GC5 ripoff possible. So
tell us how we are.
Yeah, judge it based on that. This song's called Heaven is a Hog Roast.
Which we should just go ahead and talk about that. Why is Heaven a Hog Roast? This is something that's going to be, I mean, people from Lafayette are going to listen to this, and they'll understand that, but you know, someone in Southern California, they don't get it.
Well, I mean, maybe I'll just...
Southern California people listening to this, email Max the question.
I'll tell you how to open pit roast a hog. The story from this song comes, I guess, from something called Zona Fest, which my ex-girlfriend's brother used to have, in which it was basically a night where we'd get together, get as drunk as possible, roast a hog, and then shoot guns and piss off the neighbors in Bass Lake and shit. But, I mean, what else do you have to say? Guns, hog, booze.
Fucked up this way, where I like to be, when I'm at home with my friends and family. So buy a fucking cake, let's get a fucking home. Let's get fucked up, shoot some guns all night fucking long. This here is radical.
Squire. Next up, we have Counteractive. This, what do we have here?
Counteractive's probably the most solid street punk band, I'd say, to come from Lafayette since I've been in town here. It features Scott Thomas on guitar, Kevin, we'll just call him Kevin Ginger, because he's a redhead and I don't know his last name, on bass. Perry from Green Room Rockers actually started out playing drums in this band and fucking holds it down.
Hey, listen to the drums.
And then Jared is a singer. They have recently relocated to Indy and got a new drummer, but, I mean, their shows were always fucking hitting. Like, they definitely knew how to stir up the young kids.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That was Counteractive. Up next, we have the Half Rats. What can I say about the Half Rats? They're probably the most talented band that's, well, probably is not doing anything. They're definitely the most talented band playing right now. Doing really well for themselves. It's got Chad Rainey on keys. Alex Teeter's playing drums now. Sean Mullins is playing bass. Ryan Pitts is on guitar. And is Pitts singing too?
Pitts sings too.
And then TJ's on guitar and vocals as well.
TJ Brock.
TJ Brock?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you should say something to him.
I think they started around the same time as Trent the Ripper. It's probably around 05, 06. And they've done little road jaunts with the Mans and stuff, and recently put out a 7-inch.
I think this comes to the conclusion of our Alex Teeter bands on the episode here.
The culmination of, yeah, Alex Teeter.
So, obviously, Alex has played in a lot of good bands in town. Bravo. So that was the Half Rats. Next up, we have the Green Room Rockers. Obviously, they're not really a punk band, but
a lot of the guys... I did meet Mark Cooper going to punk rock shows.
Well, exactly. They're all in the punk scene. And basically, they're a traditional ska soul band. Sounds a lot like the early skinhead reggae stuff. They're making a name for themselves already. They're playing with the Agrolites coming up next weekend. I just saw that they got rated as the third best album to come out in 2007 that was in this genre, and it was behind the Agrolites and Tim Armstrong, so that's pretty damn good for a band that's only done a little tour and they're on their own label, basically.
Yeah, this is the point where I might just put in some jealousy, because this is Mark Cooper's first band, and he's fucking hitting it big, but he's a great songwriter, so hey, Mark, you're an asshole, but way to go.
Big up!
soulful sounds of the Green Room Rockers playing the Hoosier Homegrown. Next up, we have a band called TV Ghost, and Mr. Jordan Allen's going to tell us a little bit about them.
Also not really a punk band. It takes more so from probably the no wave scene in New York in the late 70s than anything else. But, yeah, two of the guys from the Leather Scandals, Jackson and Braun, are in this band along with Tim Gick and Sean. I don't know his last name. But they're doing really good. They're always playing now. They're always playing. You know, they've done a little East Coast tour just recently.
I think they released stuff on Lane's label,
Lane,
right?
Lane from the Prophets and the Turners and the Red Hot Pokers.
Didn't they play South by Southwest this year?
They played South by Southwest.
Yes. If somebody's vehicle got repossessed while they were playing at South by Southwest, so they got stranded down there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. But their 7-inch Andestasi is actually on its second pressing now, and Lane just put out a 12-inch by them. And Larry Harding of In the Red Records just signed them to his label, which is a really, really big label, or at least for the underground. out in California, that has done releases from all kinds of band, Dirt Bombs, The Hunches, Miss Alex White, all kinds of good stuff. So, congratulations.
All right, here they are. TV Ghost. Next up, we have a band called the Sweet 16s. What do we have to say about the Sweet 16s?
Party City.
Party City.
Party City, USA.
Wow!
Fun band. see if you can hear Chris Benedict's background vocals.
Yeah, you know what? We should probably just let you guess who's in this band.
Yeah, you know.
From what you've heard so far.
And be prepared for a big letdown, because after the song's over, that's it for our episode. We'll come back and talk a little bit about what we did here today. Yeah.
All right. That was Party City USA by the Sweet 16s. We were just talking some more while that was on about going back listening to the Red Hot Pokers earlier. Pretty good story. Why don't you tell it, Jordan or Fletch?
Fletch.
Yeah, that was down at door number 3, right? The Port-A-John joint?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a Red Hot Pokers show. Mark Ermer said that he had a king-size Snickers bar and said that anybody who did the most punk rock thing during this song won the king-size Snickers bar. So about a minute into that joint, I just walked up on stage and unplugged the fucking guitar from the amp. Won the damn candy bar.
That's how we roll.
That's pretty much, I mean, within what you really don't get within, I guess, the 30 years we've spanned, or at least, you know, since I've been down here, is that the punk rock scene in Lafayette's pretty much music that's born out of an incredibly drunken, self-destructive atmosphere. And maybe it comes through in some
boredom
of the recordings.
As well.
Real tight-knit group, too, though. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of it, you're not going to piss anyone off at any of the shows for the most part. I mean, your own bandmates are, usually the bands are the only people that would get in little scuffles with each other, but it's been a pretty good run of people just having fun at shows.
The core group of everyone you can find every night together, not just out of the shows.
Yeah.
Especially now that summer's coming on, there will be a lot of barbecues and everything.
Spring fever, as the Turners say.
Yeah.
So that's it. Thanks for tuning in. This has been a special broadcast of Militia Mondays on Radio Shigiro. That's shigiro.org or 88.9 local FM station in Lafayette. Want to say once again thanks to Joe Yakimicki, Esteban Garcia for hooking it all up and being the man behind the scenes. It's just fucking plugging away at it. We got Eric Fletcher, John Bingaman, Jordan Allen, and myself, Max Campbell, here for Militia Mondays. And
there are a ton of people that helped in the last 2 weeks when we were trying to put this together because, I mean, we lost recordings and things, but I've talked to people from most of these bands over the last couple weeks, and thanks a lot for getting them to us. Probably want to mention that this is the last episode of Militia Mondays, at least for a while.
Yeah.
Because Max is going to be, he's playing with the Hudson Falcons now, and he's going to be touring because he's a dick for 18 days in Germany, Spain, France.
6 weeks.
Six weeks total, but yeah. I mean, Germany is 18 days alone. Yeah. So he'll be all over Europe having fun, and I'll be sitting here in Lafayette listening to this podcast.
Breathing in the air that smells like shit.
There's something in the water.
All right. Thanks. Fuck off.